Welcome back to another round of Riding Back Roads from the Kent's Harley Davidson, I guess you'd say studio, since we actually...
Yeah, kind of looks like it from our side.
Yeah. Most times it's a dealership, but sometimes it's a podcasting studio. Today, well, first off, this is Steve Hood. I'm Keith Hayes, your host for Riding Back Roads. Today, we're going to be... myth busting some Texas motorcycle laws. But before we get into those laws, Hood, we've got an event coming up, I think is really, really important to talk about. And, you know, just anything in motorcycle and, in general is, these laws are going to affect anything that we do. We're on the road. But let's talk about this. First off, let's talk about this Fallen Heroes ride that we've got coming up here in May.
Well, you know, that the Fallen Heroes Ride is an event that we're putting on to benefit the Texas State Veterans Cemetery here in Abilene.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is we're doing, a fundraiser, but we're going to match those funds here from Kent up to $2,000. So if we can raise $2,000, then we're going to match that $2,000.
Oh, that's cool.
And what we've done effectively is we have given you 15 locations to go try to find that are memorial sites.
Yeah.
Just memorial weekend coming up here before too long.
Yeah.
It's memorial sites. And so they range anywhere from all the way in 1836 at the Alamo all the way to Iran, Afghanistan time frame. So anyway, it'll be a nice ride if they can get up to, 13 of the 15. If they can get them, then they go, their name will go into a pot for a $500 gift card. If they can get over 10 of the sites, then it will go into a $250 gift card. If they can get at least five, and there's eight of them right here in Abilene. You ought to be able to at least get five. If you get five, it'll go into, the pot for a $100 gift card.
Oh, that's cool.
And then at the end of it, and you've got like over 2 weeks to go find these. So you got time to do it. And then at the end of that, what we'll do is we'll have on the 17th of May, which is weekend before Memorial Day, that Saturday, we're going to have a ride out to the Veterans Cemetery. Motorcycles, and we're going to take a picture of the motorcycles around the flag
flagpole
that's out there. Out there. So we hope to have at least 100 motorcycles or more out there, and that'll happen at 3 o'clock when we take the picture. So,
oh, that's cool.
So it's coming up pretty fast, and they can start May 1st, and they've got all the way to May 17th to get finished with. So they got plenty of time.
So from May 1st through the 17th, they got to enter up here or register up here at Kent's. We give them 15 locations of area memorials. They go to those memorials, take selfies, and depending on however many they visit, that goes into how much they win.
That's right. And they got plenty of time to do it. And it's not like a lot of them are just real close to each other, and we're not, it's not like, we're giving them, they got to figure out where they're at. We're going to tell them where they're at. It's easy. Here they are. Go find them. They're right there. So a lot of them are at courthouses and places like that. So they're easy to access. Nothing that would be difficult for them to get a picture at.
And the cool thing about the Fallen Heroes ride, the first part of this is that anybody can get into it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be on a motorcycle. So if you got a car, truck, SUV, whatever.
That's a fundraiser. We're trying to, we want to help the guys out here at the Veterans Cemetery. They do have a certain amount of funding, but then there's also a whole lot that they can't come up with.
Right.
State's not giving them near enough money to be able to function as well as they need to.
Makes sense.
And so this will help them out.
Yeah.
And, these guys are fantastic out there. Anybody that's ever dealt with these folks, they're extremely compassionate. They're very detailed, and they do a wonderful job out there.
Well, and those, the residents of the state, Texas State Veterans Cemetery, those are all the most selfless humans on the planet.
They're all veterans. They all, some of them gave their all you know, in battle, and a lot of them, you know, gave their all for years after the fact.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Check it out on our website, kentshd.com. You can get all the details about the Fallen Heroes Ride. But May 1st through the 17th, you got a chance to win some Kent's gift cards. But so today we're talking myth-busting Texas motorcycle laws.
Absolutely.
There's some that make sense, some that people never even heard of before.
And, you know, lots of people, you know, think, for example, if there's not a helmet law in Texas, and there is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and they don't know what the issues are that are involved in it, you know.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of the other things, like, you know, do you have to have a headlight on?
Right, right.
You know, things along those lines. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, hopefully we can answer some of those questions for them real quick.
Well, what seems so simple, or, you know, so easy to us, others may not understand. It's kind of one of those that unless you're riding a motorcycle, you don't really think about, you don't think about all the laws that impact motorcyclists, but it's definitely something that's good to know for, you know, motorcyclists and those that don't ride, you know, kind of makes everybody, puts everybody on the same playing field and, you know, kind of gives us all the same perspective. But I want to start off with lane splitting and lane filtering. There's a lot of
both of which are absolutely illegal in Texas.
Absolutely illegal in Texas. Now that there's a lot of misconceptions about lane splitting and lane filtering, because in some states, say like California, lane filtering is legal.
Yeah.
Lane splitting, however, is not. But here in Texas, they're both illegal.
Well, by law, you know. Of course, Texas, it's kind of funny because in Texas, you can literally have two motorcycles side by side in the same lane.
Yeah,
that's legal. So, you know, if you were pulling up to a stoplight or a stop sign or something, and there was your buddy sitting up here in front of you, and you squeezed between a car to get up there, they're probably not going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But if you're going speed and you try to do that, it's probably going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's you want to use your best best judgment when doing some things that are may have a gray.
It's kind of going to depend on what mood that police officer's in when he sees you're the DPS trooper, you know. So, both of them by law are not legal.
Yeah, and lane splitting basically is when you're moving between the two lanes, passing one, all vehicles are moving. Lane filtering is, say, everybody, you know, 15 vehicles pull up to a stoplight, and the motorcyclist is the 10 vehicle back, and they try to make their way to the front.
So
that's the only difference between the two, right? Is one's in motion, the other one is not.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you know, can you get on the right hand side of the road and, you know, on the shoulder and pass all these vehicles? No, that's not going to work either.
You know, I never even thought about that. That wasn't even one we had on the list. Look at you trying to stump me so early. So passing on the
right. A mutual friend of ours, when this was in Tennessee, wasn't even here. But when we were on a trip out to the Dragon one time, we're cruising along and there was an accident on the far side of the road on the interstate. And we're cruising along, and this guy who will remain nameless decides, we're sitting back, well, he decides to take off on the right-hand side and start working his way up. When we finally get up there, he's pulled over by the Tennessee Highway Patrol, and they're just reading him the riot act. We go on by, and it took us probably 45 minutes to catch up with each other after that.
No passing on the right side.
Yeah, better not. You know, they'll get you in trouble.
All right. Lane splitting, lane filtering. Absolutely. No, you cannot do it.
Right.
But like Steve said, maybe it depends on the mood of the police officer at the time. Now, you touched on this. You touched on this a minute ago when we're talking about the laws, we're talking about helmet laws. Now,
right.
There's helmet laws are not just cut and dry. It depends on age. Depends on insurance.
Well, the fact is there is a helmet law.
Okay.
660, let's see what it's called. It's transportation code in Texas, 661.
Yeah.
Chapter, protective helmet gear for motorcycle operators and passengers. So there is actually a helmet law, mm-hmm. and the difference is whether or not you've taken the motorcycle safety course,
right.
which is now required by law to get your license anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Or age, mm-hmm. you know, and or whether or not you have health insurance coverage that would cover you have an accident. So the law says that you wear a helmet.
Yeah.
Unless you've had the MSF course,
okay,
and you have enough insurance to cover you if you do have an accident and you have to go to the hospital. Now, if you're under 21,
right,
all bets are off. You're required to wear a helmet, passenger and operator.
Gotcha.
Now, the funny thing, you're over 21, you've got the exemptions from wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a passenger and you don't have the MSF course, you don't have insurance, you have to wear a helmet if you're over 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. A passenger would have to have that, you know.
Regardless
of age, if they haven't taken that MSF course or have at least the insurance coverage. So it's kind of flaky. Now, the one thing that a lot of people don't think about is the police officers, any law enforcement officer, cannot stop you to see if you're legal.
Oh, okay.
That is actually written in the law.
Okay.
They cannot stop you to see if you're legal. Now, you drop on down a couple of more sections into that same 661.
Yeah.
I can't remember what 661 something part D. Anyway, they can stop you to check and see whether your helmet is a legal helmet or not.
Wow. So really?
Yes. If you're wearing a helmet, they can't stop you to check to see if that helmet is a proper legal DOT helmet. But what they can't do is stop you to check to see if you are legal to wear a helmet.
Wow. Now,
that being said, they can stop you for any other reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And then find out whether or not you're legally wearing a helmet or not.
Well, and you know what? It's we're in the day and age. There's more people out on the road. There's more distracted driving. It doesn't matter what your age is or your insurance level, or if you have the MSF course or not, wear a helmet. I mean, this one right here.
Well, that was one of our customers that, you know, you're talking about distracted driving. Animals don't care if you're distracted or not.
All right.
In this situation, and you know, I mean, this helmet, he slid for over 300 feet and a lot of it on that helmet.
Wow.
And, you know, he was in the hospital after that for ICU for 2 months.
Yeah.
Another month and a half, you know, getting better. And then it's been 5 months since this happened. And he's still in rehab and not able to ride his motorcycle. Wow. If he hadn't had that helmet on, he would not be here.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, helmets, you know, he hit a deer at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
At lunchtime.
Gotcha.
You know, the deer wasn't checking whether it's dark or light. Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, accident or accident.
Yeah.
If it was on purpose, we wear everything in the world to be protected, you know, when it happens. But, you know, accident, you know, and we're not saying, you know, we're not telling somebody they have to wear a helmet or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's your choice. But, you know, if you do go down, your chances of surviving that accident are greatly increased if you do have proper safety equipment on, and the helmet should be one of those that you really consider, you know.
Well, and I agree with what you say somewhat. You're like, we're not trying to tell you that you have to wear it. No, I personally think that everybody needs to wear a helmet. It may be my opinion is wrong, but instances like this, do you have to wear a helmet? We already covered all that.
Well, you know, they passed this, the law was passed years and years ago.
Yeah.
And back whenever they passed it, you know, I'm like you, I wear a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's my personal choice.
For sure.
But I've landed on my pumpkin head before. And, you know, so I know the value of having that lid on.
Yeah.
You know, I had it on when I crashed and I had a bad concussion from it. If I had not, I'm probably would have cracked my skull and may not even be here.
You don't have to, but, you know, it is probably best that you do. And I've heard you say, you know, with customers before, I think is the greatest statement anybody can make when it comes to helmets. Because I heard somebody ask you, you know, which helmet you should get, you know, half helmet, three quarter, full face, modular, blah, blah, blah. And you just looked at them and go, well, how much do you value your head?
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times we feel invincible we don't think that we're going to crash, but I promise you, there's two types of people that ride motorcycles.
Yep.
Those that have been down and those that are going to go down. Yeah. Eventually, you are going to go down.
Yep.
It may not even be fast.
Yeah. No, but, you're right.
You know, Gary Busey, just to use an example, years and years ago, you know, because he's gone to total fruitcake itis now.
Yeah.
But, and that's from him hitting his head without a helmet on. And he pulled up in Hollywood on his motorcycle, put his foot down in gravel, and slipped. His foot went out. He went down, and then, you know, when you're going down, your head, you're trying to hold your head up, and you're going down. Well, anyway, he was just that much too close to the curb and cracked his noggin on the curb and cracked his skull. And
really?
And after that, when he really started, you know, for a little bit, he wasn't too bad, but then he just could, you know, progressively got a little bit stranger.
Yeah.
And they attributed that to that. He, even after the fact, started his own line of helmets. They were half helmet.
Wow.
But he had his own little old line of half helmets there for a while that you know, because if he had had that on, would have probably kept him from busting his head.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so you talked about this, so this is not going to take long, but do you have to have an MSF course to get your motorcycle endorsement?
That's the only way you get it anymore.
That's the only way.
You cannot get your motor since, I think, 2009.
Yeah.
They passed that to where now, to get your motorcycle license, you have to go through the MSF course.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 4.5-hour long online deal that you do before you go out to the safety school.
Yeah.
And then you go out there and you ride for 2 days with the instructors and you're done. You don't do anything at the DPS anymore. It's either online or at that class.
Gotcha.
And when they give you that certificate, you just take that certificate, your driver's license, you go down to DPS and you're done.
Oh, easy enough. Yeah. And here in our area, we've got Abilene Safety Instruction is a certified MSF course. So, you know, find them online.
Good folks.
Yeah, really good folks. I took a course there many years ago. And, you know, going into it, even though I knew how to ride, it opened up my eyes to so much that I didn't know as a rider. And it made me a better driver.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I've taken the advanced course. They've got, you know, the basic course you have to get your license.
Yeah.
And then they've got the advanced course for people like you and I who've been riding for a long time. And I take that advanced course about every 4 or 5 years just to remind me of the things, because we get into bad habits.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that they're going to basically teach you risk management for riding a motorcycle. And they're going to go through the things that will make you a better rider overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to keep you from having an accident. It's not going to, you know, there are all sorts of things possible out there. But what it will do is it'll make you a better operator. And I really wish that they'd make all the car drivers take this, because
I agree.
It would definitely make them more aware of what we as motorcycle riders, you know, do and how we
couldn't agree more. 5 years ago or so, when I was out on the Ride for Change.
You got hurt pretty good.
I got hurt. And you were talking about it doesn't, you know, you got two types of riders and you don't even have to be going fast to go down. I was literally, when I got, you know, when I had my accident, I was going about 20 to 25 miles an hour. And now the car, the distracted driver was going a little bit faster, but I was only going 20 to 25 miles an hour and ended up with titanium in my leg. So, yeah, speed is not what kills you. It's the impact that really is.
We don't have any protection on the mics other than what we put on. And even that sometimes is not enough to help us from being hurt.
No, you're right. Okay, now this is one I've never really thought much about. I've heard rumors, or I guess the myth, many times about does Texas have a no chase on motorcycles law? Like, in other words, a pursuit law.
They can chase your butt down however they want to do it.
See, because a long time ago, I heard there was a story about a sport bike rider that had gone down, you know, passed away, was doing, you know, 100 plus miles an hour. And people were commenting on the social safetiness or lack of safety. And I heard multiple people say that, he should have just slowed down because cops can't chase people on motorcycles. It's like, man, that sounds so weird. Why would people say
that? By law, there's no law that prohibits them from doing that. Now, I will say this. you know, one of the things that they teach, you know, in almost every police academy that you're going to run across at DPS, there's a lot of common sense that is required of the police officers to use to determine whether or not a pursuit is worth the effort to do. And so, you know, in some cities, some cities very well might have a no chase law.
Gotcha.
But as far as state of Texas, they can legally chase you down regardless. But, it would be difficult for, you know, you're not going to outrun the radio.
No.
You know, years ago, we had a guy, I had a friend that was DPS trooper that happened to be standing out there on the showroom one day, and we're sitting there doing it. His phone rings and he says, "I've got to go."
Yeah.
And what it was is there was a guy out of Midland, and he had was coming down the interstate running close to 170, 180 miles an hour on a sport bike.
Yeah.
And Kevin had to drop what he was doing. He was on duty. He was actually that stopped in the store. And he had to go run, get in his car, and they were supposed to try to cut him off at Baird. They finally caught the guy in Weatherford when he had to stop for gas.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't catch him. By the time they got, because this guy was coming through Merkel when he was supposed to go to Baird and try to catch him. Guy was already through and gone.
Wow.
You know, and eventually they're gonna run out of gas. But you can't outrun the radio.
No,
because they can stagger it down.
Yeah.
And I don't know whatever happened to the guy, but evidently he was in a hurry to get to his girlfriend's house or something. I don't know. But, you know.
Hopefully she was worth it.
I guess. But, you know, it's one of those things that your common sense should tell you that, you know, if you know, they're trying to pull you over.
Yeah.
The best thing you do is pull over. Because all they're going to do is you're going to make it worse.
Yeah. By running.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, then they're going to get you for, I don't know what all else they can rack the charges up.
Yeah.
Evading arrest.
Yeah.
Everything else, you know, you know, it's not going to just be that speed. You know, you're going to get a ticket for speeding.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever you're going to be in trouble for. But, you know, if you pull over, you've got a better chance of.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, if you're respectful to them, most of the time they're respectful back, and it's not a big deal.
Well, we're myth-busting Texas motorcycle laws on riding back roads today. The next one has to do with, once again, we're kind of touching on age limits and everything. To be a passenger, not an operator of a motorcycle, but as passenger, are there any laws? Is there a certain age limit?
Have to be at least 5 years old.
Really? 5 years old?
Yeah, 5 years old or older.
So,
if you're under 5 years old, they cannot be a passenger. They have to be in a quote unquote a sidecar.
Oh, so in a sidecar, they could be under
they
five?
They could be.
Yep. Okay. Yep. But to be a passenger on the back of a bike.
But nobody's got a sidecar. It's hard to call anymore. I haven't seen one in ages.
Like there's going to be a bunch of people going, well, I'm exempt.
They're going to have a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely no ifs or ands. And then, of course, on any motorcycle that carries a passenger, there has to be foot pegs. And there has to be a passenger seat. Now, I don't know any five-year-olds that are going to reach foot peg.
No.
But, you know, it's a common sense deal.
Yeah. That is a common sense. And regardless of age, I think the most important thing is going to be the size of the kid. Because you can have a really, really big five-year-old kid that maybe can touch the foot pegs. And you can have a really small 10-year-old that can't. So, yeah, like I said, just use your best judgment.
Yeah.
Now we're going back to the whole motorcycle license here. If as a customer, is it legal for me to buy a motorcycle without a motorcycle license?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no requirement to actually have a motorcycle license to purchase a motorcycle. Now, what you are required to have in Texas and in most places is you have to have insurance. You got to have at least liability insurance.
Yeah.
And if you finance it, most companies are going to require full coverage. That's where you're going to run into the motorcycle license deal. Some places, some insurance companies may not insure you if you don't have a license.
Makes sense.
So that might cause you a problem.
I mean,
some will insure you as long as you go get your license.
Yeah.
You know, if you fail to get your license after a certain amount of time, they may cancel your insurance.
Yeah.
Then you're into a whole different world. But you have to have photo ID.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have proof of who you are. So usually that's a driver's license. you know, but you have to have photo ID showing that you are legal to buy one in Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as far as that goes, that's just commerce law.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Oh.
I always thought that not just motorcycles, but for any kind of vehicle that you had to have a license to buy.
You have to have, if you got probably a Texas ID card.
Yeah. Wow.
Or, I don't know passport, what else they would consider a proper form of ID. Yeah. You could go down and buy a car or a truck or whatever you want. Guess you'd be buying an airplane. I don't know.
Can't get it off the lot if you can't fly it, though.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, what about, we talked about this a little bit earlier. You kind of touched on it, but what about headlights? Are motorcyclists supposed to have headlights on at all times?
I don't think that it's necessarily a state law.
Yeah.
But it's been a federal regulation since 1978 that every motorcycle, mm-hmm. the second that engine starts, that headlight has to come on.
Wow.
So
okay.
Can you know, by state law, and I'm going to say probably yes,
yeah.
you're supposed to have it on unless the vehicle was built before 1978.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think that is probably the case. Now, I know I'm not an inspection guy, so I'm not positive. That's one of those guys. But I know you have to have a headlight that is visible from at least 1,000 feet away.
I got you.
The same on your tail light has to be visible from 1,000 feet away. So, you know, it has, you know, to say it has to be on at night, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
During the day, I don't know. That's one of those questions.
It's kind of a gray area.
Yeah, you can't find it. It's not anything that I found online that said it absolutely has to be.
But yeah.
I know federal regulations as far as the manufacturer of the vehicles, it's been so since, 1979. So.
Well, and being that motorcycles are smaller vehicles anyway, it's good for visibility. You know, you make yourself more, aware to the drivers around you. So
I don't know how many accidents in the 49 years I've been doing this that I've seen where people, the driver said, I never saw them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's with headlights on. You know, I'm real cautious. I make sure my high beam is on, even during the day.
Because, really? Okay.
Sometimes some of these lights that we have are pretty cool. You know, these LEDs particularly melt into the sunlight.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of times on a low beam, you're driving down the road and people can't see you because your headlight just kind of goes into
the stuff. Makes sense. So, it kind of all blends together. Yeah. So,
if I can do something as simple as having a headlight on and keep some idiot from not seeing me, I'd rather do that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Myth busting Texas motorcycle laws on riding back roads. The last one, this is one I've probably heard out of our motorcycle customers, people that have actually bought motorcycles within the past couple of years. I'd say easily 10% of them, just when I'm out on the floor, I've heard it, maybe not 10%, but quite a few comment on, can I remove the baffles?
Yeah, or make the bike louder. Everybody wants their Harley to sound cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want it to sound good, and even some of the sport bikes. I don't think there's a federal regulation about modifying anything out of EPA compliance.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where you get into the particulars. Now, since we no longer have inspections, except for counties that have over, I'm going to say, I believe it's 1 million people.
Yeah.
So that it restricts the number of counties, probably to Harris County and Dallas, maybe Fort Worth. I mean, some of the bigger counties, the bigger cities, they still have to do, from the way I understand it, they have to still do an EPA.
Gotcha.
Emissions test.
Yeah.
Which is a noise and an exhaust gas test. If you fail that test, you have no choice but go back to the same place that you did before. And if you live in one of those areas, you can't come like to Abilene where we no longer have to do those tests. But we haven't had to do that, either one of those tests, because we're in a small county.
Right.
We don't have that volume of people that live there. But so I think that's probably the only place that you're going to run into an issue is if you're in one of the larger counties to where you literally are going to have one of those emission tests.
So it's mainly, you know, the whole baffles thing is more of a federal EPA type of thing as opposed to a safety type of thing.
Sure. And that's one of the deals you get into. It's just like cars and trucks.
Yeah.
You know, if you take a lot of people that have diesels, they want to gut out the, you know, some of the stuff, put chips in them and make them run better, same trucks, cars, stuff like that. The problem is if you modify that and you go to trade that vehicle in, they can't take it.
Really?
Yeah. And it becomes a difficult task.
Gotcha.
If we have one that's modified, it becomes an issue if somebody wants to trade one in, because we're going to have to convert it back to where it does meet EPA compliance before we can, you know, to sell it. Because you can't get warranty on it, can't get anything on it once it's out of EPA compliance. It's a pretty massive fine for anybody to warranty a vehicle that is out of EPA compliance. And that's since 2017.
Well, I'll tell you that alone, just that part of this conversation, it should encourage people enough to never leave Texas, because you get to places like California, man. Those EPA standards are like through the roof.
Oh, yeah. You know, in some cities even now, you know, I'll say this. I know Amarillo, for example, their police officers carry noise.
Like a decibel machine. Meter?
Yeah, decibel meters in their vehicles.
Really?
And if they will pull you over.
Yeah.
And check to see whether or not your vehicle, if they think it's too loud, and they'll check it. And if it's too loud, they'll issue a ticket. And I know there's a couple other places in Texas I've heard of do the same thing.
There's
a lot of them in California that do it.
Oh, yeah. You can't escape it in California.
Yep, for sure.
Well, we've been myth-busting Texas motorcycle laws here on Riding Backroads. We started off the show talking about the Fallen Heroes Ride, and that's going on May 1st through the 17th. So make sure you stop by Kent's Harley-Davidson to get signed up for that. And, you know, don't forget to check out all the different podcasting platforms from Spotify to Apple to YouTube and more to catch every episode of Riding Backroads. He's Steve Hood. I'm Keith Hayes. Thanks for joining us today.